One weekend, two high-stakes conferences. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. President Joe Biden has landed in Rome, where tomorrow he'll attend the first in-person G20 meeting since the pandemic began. The summit includes leaders from the world's biggest economies, and topics of conversation will include the economic recovery from coronavirus and climate change. But with 24 hours to go, another subject is stealing the spotlight in the pages of the Financial Times this morning: COVID-19 vaccine equity. More than 160 former world leaders and corporate bosses have written a letter published in the paper to the Italian Prime Minister Mario Draghi, this year's G20 chair. They call on Western powers to mount an immediate military airlift of surplus vaccines to developing nations. One of the signatories, the former president of East Timor, José Ramos Horta, explains why more action is needed now.
This is not only ethical and moral. You cannot hide behind a fortress against COVID. Economically, we are completely interdependent. You need trade. You need to buy. You have a tourist which wish to travel. So it must be a social pact that everybody should embrace.
The letter's signatories argue we're in a vaccines versus variants arms race, and that the world is losing as variants race ahead and vaccines fall short. The BBC's James Landell has more from Rome.
The signatories comprise a who's who of recent leaders. They say while a handful of rich countries have vaccinated about 70% of their people against COVID, many poorer countries have managed only 2%. And they argue there is now an urgent need to end this vaccine inequality. To do so, they say Britain, the United States, Canada and the EU should immediately launch a military airlift to distribute 240 million surplus doses to countries most in need, and then another 200 million next month and so on. To let hundreds of millions of doses expire and go to waste, they say, would be unethical when tens of thousands of people are still dying of COVID every day.
That's the BBC's James Landell reporting from the Italian capital there. Checking the numbers now, the pan-European Stock 600 index is down about 0.5% after data this hour showed inflation across the eurozone jumped to a 13-year high this month. Prices rose to 4.1% in October, up from 3.4% the month prior. They were fueled by a rise in energy prices and pressure from supply chain disruptions. Excluding food and energy, though, inflation rose to 2.1%. Well, as we've been discussing, a busy weekend is ahead for global leaders. Many will head from the G20 in Rome up to the COP26 climate summit in Glasgow. The European Union is the world's third biggest emitter of CO2 gases, and it recently pledged to become climate neutral by 2050. It's the first continental bloc to make such a promise. But as the BBC's Katia Adler explains, getting 27 nations to meet common targets comes with its own set of challenges.
I want Europe to become the first climate neutral continent in the world by 2050.
Says Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the European Commission, at the start of this, a promotional video about the EU's much-trumpeted environmental plan. Except there's a problem. The ambitious Green Deal has no legally enforceable roadmap, at least so far.
I think there's a lot of issues with the Green Deal.
That's Miriam Duo from Friends of the Earth Europe.
The targets are not binding and they're not enforceable, and we really need that. It's been greenwashed and it's been watered down by the fossil fuel industry and their lobbying.
Absolute rubbish, says the European Commission. But lobbyists are a very familiar sight in the corridors of Brussels. You can track some of their activities on the EU's transparency register. Fuels Europe, Shell, type in the name and you can see just how much they spent on lobbying in Brussels in a year. Just five oil and gas corporations and their lobby groups are estimated to have spent over €250 million targeting EU decision makers over the last decade. But at a climate demo this month in Brussels, attended by tens of thousands, we found the focus of people's ire was less the European Commission and more the individual EU member states.
I think that member states are not aligned in what they want and what their priorities are. And I do think that the EU is trying, but they need to put their foot down a lot harder.
The tussle in EU member states isn't over whether to change, it's over how fast and how much change will cost. Fossil fuels remain key in Europe in powering heavy industries, creating jobs, providing tax revenues, and heating homes. I've come to influential Germany, where the Greens are expected to play a major role in the new government. But Germany alone is amongst the world's top 10 CO2 emitters.
We would have been earlier in our climate action, but now it's a priority, and I think the new government will give a high priority for climate change policy.
I've come to Germany's Environment Ministry to meet State Secretary and former NGO activist Jochen Flassbart. Relations between fossil fuel groups, industry and German MPs are often described as just too cosy.
Go out and ask them what they think, about, for example, about me, then you will see, there, at least in this building here, there is no conflict of interest.
While EU politicians now argue over Green Deal details, nuclear power, yes or no, gas as a transition fuel, good or bad, time is marching on. Amongst the protesters on the streets of Europe, there's a rising sense of fear that the time for talk is over. Their future is slipping away.
That's the BBC's Katia Adler reporting there. Well, while the focus for many of us might be the climate summit in Scotland this weekend, for many kids, it's all about Sunday's trick-or-treating. Apparently, supermarkets here in the UK have focused more on their chocolate offerings than other kinds of sweets. That's because consultancy Edge by Essential, which dug into the data, says the retailers are stocking up on their festive offerings earlier amid expectations families will host large celebrations to make up for last year. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.